Peter, we've just listened to the story of your father during World War II and his involvement in the PIB, the Papuan Infantry Battalion. It was incredible audio. What we'd love to know is a little bit about your dad, the man. What happened after the war? Did he get transferred back to Australia? Was he still in the army? Was he discharged at the end of the war?
He was discharged at the end of the war. He was with the PIB till 1946 in Rabaul, and in his own words, he paid off the last few soldiers, switched out the lights and came home. But he came home, I think, a fairly damaged man. The kind of war that he fought, tremendous stresses, and his sister said to me once, "Your father was a very gentle man. I don't know how he ever did the things that he did, but he did them. He was very modest. He never spoke about what he'd done until the last few months of his life, really." And yeah, he ended up going bush, working in the bush, and fairly just, you know, foreman on sheep stations and that. He just wanted to get away from the world, I think. These days we understand more about what war does to people. He had to cope with it in his own way, but he was a wonderful father to have. He's a true Australian hero, there's no doubt about that.
And how many of you kids were there?
There were five of us. My older brother, John, joined the army, went into the SAS. Unfortunately, he passed away back in the 1990s from a condition that was related to his service in Vietnam. I joined the army myself. It just seemed to be the natural thing to do. I was in psychology corps. I was never at the sharp end of the army, and I guess that's where life takes us. Two sisters and a much younger brother who was sort of an afterthought when he came along.
And your dad was a good father to all of you?
Yeah, he was a really good father. He was someone you could look up to, and as his sister said, a very gentle person. But still, I guess he instilled in my brother and I a sense of honour, a sense of duty, and also he didn't encourage us, but I guess the role model that he was encouraged us to go into the army. And certainly that's something neither of us ever regretted.
You've said that your father didn't talk very much about his war experiences. How did you get this beautiful audio from him?
Well, he would tell us some funny stories when we were younger. And when I was, well into my 40s, he would sometimes talk to me about it, because in those days when he was retired, he read a lot of military history. He'd talk about that and talk about what he did. But the interesting thing is that one of my uncles, who married Dad's sister, I found out many years later, he was the most laid-back person you could wish to meet. But I found out he'd been a commando in Sparrow Force on Timor. And he and Dad, when they used to visit us in the bush, would sit in Dad's office at night with a couple of bottles of beer, talking late into the night. And as my cousin said, I'd love to know what they were talking about, because it was obviously their experiences. But yeah, it was later when he was getting towards the end that I said, "Look, we've got to get it on tape. What did you do?" And by that time, I knew a lot of it. But yeah, getting it down on tape was very important, because I think there's some very important history in that, not just from a selfish point of view, that this is my father's story, but what the Papuans and New Guineans did during World War II is not well recognised, and it really needs to be. They made a tremendous contribution. The PIB had a kill rate of 30 to 1. And that 30 was based on Japanese records of what they lost in contact with the PIB. And that's a phenomenal rate for any military unit.
They played such an important role in defeating the Japanese.
Yes, they certainly did. And the force that was raised in Torres Strait, Thursday Island, Horn Island Group, were very important in, I guess you could call it home defence there. But the Papuan Infantry and the New Guinea Infantry Battalions, they were at the forefront. Finch Harf and Dad said when the PIB were operating there, they were 2 days in front of the AIF forces. They were out there doing the damage, breaking up the Japanese formations, and the AIF was really, had a lot of battles, but they were cleaning up after them. The PIB always operated way behind Japanese lines. That was their stock in trade.
Peter Jesser, thank you very much for coming on Service Voices and talking with us about your dad, about his experiences, and bringing his voice with you.
A pleasure, Helen. Now I might get round to writing that book that I've been saying I should write. You've motivated me, I think. Thank you.
For his patrol work behind Japanese lines, Harold Jesser was awarded the Military Cross. The citation for his Military Cross, approved for immediate award, stated, "During the night of the 22nd-23rd July 1942, at great personal risk, he took a small patrol of natives and penetrated beyond Sangara, a distance of 12 miles behind the enemy lines, and returned to his headquarters with valuable information of the enemy's strength and disposition, thereby enabling the PIB to take up a position and greatly retard the enemy advance." Again, on the night of the 26th and 27th of July 1942, he repeated the performance with similar results. Captain Jesser's Military Cross was the first to be awarded in the Papua New Guinea Theatre of War in World War II. Sergeant Katui, who accompanied Jesser during most of his patrols, was awarded the Military Medal. This was the first decoration to be won by a Papuan or New Guinean soldier.